Hare Krishna.
What is the verse number?
16. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskritya. Naram Chaiva Narottamam. Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam. Tato Jayamudiraye. Nashta Prayeshva Bhadreshu. Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. Bhagavati Ruttama Shloke. Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtiki. Krishnaya Vasudevaya. Devaki Nandanaya cha. Nanda Gopa Kumaraya. Govindaya namo namaha.
Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam. First canto, sixth chapter, text number 16. Dhyayatas charanam bhojam. Bhava nirjita chetasa. Autkantya shrukalakshasya. Hyadyasinme shanair harihi. Dhyayatas charanam bhojam. Bhava nirjita chetasa. Autkantya shrukalakshasya. Hyadyasinme shanair harihi. Dhyayatascharanam bhojam. Bhava nirjita chetasa. Autkantya shrukalakshasya. Yadyasinme shanair harihi.
Rudyasinme shanir harihi.
Bhavane hrishatetasa.
Kantya shukalakshasya.
Dhyayatascharanam bhojam.
Bhava nirjita
chetasa. Autkantya shrukalakshasya.
Autkantya shrukalakshasya.
Hridyasinme shanair harihi.
Mataji.
Bhava nirjita chetasa. Dhyayatas charanam bhojam. భావనిర్జిత చేతస ధ్యాయతః దస్ మెడిటేటింగ్ అపాన్ చరణం భోజం ద లోటస్ ఫీట్ ఆఫ్ ద లోకలైజ్డ్ పర్సనాలిటీ ఆఫ్ గాడ్ హెడ్ భావనిర్జిత మైండ్ ట్రాన్స్ఫార్మ్డ్ ఇన్ ట్రాన్సెండెంటల్ లవ్ ఫర్ ద లార్డ్ చేతస ఆల్ మెంటల్ యాక్టివిటీస్ థింకింగ్ ఫీలింగ్ అండ్ విల్లింగ్ ఔత్కంఠ్య ఈగర్నెస్ అశ్రుకల టియర్స్ రోల్ డౌన్ అక్షస్య ఆఫ్ ద ఐస్ హృది విదిన్ మై హార్ట్ ఆసీద్ అప్యర్డ్ మే మై శనై విదౌట్ డిలే హరి ద పర్సనాలిటీ ఆఫ్ గాడ్ హెడ్ As soon as I began to meditate upon the lotus feet of the personality of Godhead with my mind, transformed in transcendental love, tears rolled down my eyes, and without delay, the personality of Godhead Sri Krishna appeared on the lotus of my heart. Purport. By His Divine Grace, Isi Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada ki. The word bhava is significant here. This bhava stage is attained after one has transcendental affection for the Lord. The first initial stage is called Shraddha, or liking for the Supreme Lord. And in order to increase that liking, one has to associate with pure devotees of the Lord. The third stage is to practice the prescribed rules and regulations of devotional service. This will dissipate all sorts of misgivings and remove all personal deficiencies that hamper progress in devotional service. When all misgivings and personal deficiencies are removed, there is a standard faith in transcendental matter, and the taste for it increases in greater proportion. This stage leads to attraction. And after this, there is bhava, or the prior stage of unalloyed love for God. All the above different stages are but different stages of development of transcendental love. Being so surcharged with transcendental love, there comes a strong feeling of separation which leads to 8 different kinds of ecstasies. Tears from the eyes of a devotee is an automatic reaction. And because Sri Narada Muni, in his previous birth, attained that stage very quickly after his departure from home, it was quite possible for him to perceive the actual presence of the Lord, which he tangibly experienced by his developed spiritual senses without material tinge, entitled Conversation Between Narada and Vyasadev. Here, the Guru is revealing to his disciple about the glory of Bhagavata Dharma and the science of devotional service, about how it works and how it surpasses all the other types of dharma. And in this verse which we are reading today, Narada Muni is confiding with his own disciple about the stage of bhava, how he attained. So Srila Prabhupada in the purport gives the step-by-step procedure how one's shraddha gradually is elevated to the platform of సాధు సంగ భజన క్రియ అనర్థ నివృత్తి నిష్ఠ రుచి ఆసక్తి అండ్ దెన్ భావ్ ఇన్ దిస్ వే ద లవ్ ఆఫ్ గాడ్ హెడ్ గ్రాడ్యువలీ బ్లాసమ్స్ ఇన్ ద హార్ట్ ఆఫ్ ఎ డివోటీ సో ఇట్స్ లైక్ అ బర్డ్ బ్లాసమింగ్ ఇన్ టు ఎ ఫ్లవర్ అండ్ దెన్ గ్రాడ్యువలీ ప్రొడ్యూసింగ్ ద ఫ్రూట్ ఆఫ్ లవ్ ఆఫ్ గాడ్ హెడ్ ఇన్ ద లైఫ్ ఆఫ్ ఎ డివోటీ అండ్ In all these progressive stages, the faith of the devotee in the Lord and the loving attraction for the Lord goes on increasing more and more. And it is a great science. Srila Prabhupada used to call the process of devotional service a science of Godhead. Why science of Godhead? Because it is a practical science. Prabhupada would give an example. How sometimes in a chemical laboratory you take certain chemicals and mix them in certain proportion and you get the result. Just like you do the endpoint experiment. You open the burette slightly and drop by drop when you administer the chemical into the solution. When you keep stirring it at one point of time, suddenly there is a change in color. And that has to happen. It's a repeatable experiment. It's a proven experiment. You can do it a million times and it will occur, it will happen. In the same way Krishna says, Bahavo jnana tapasa puta madbhava magataha. Arjuna, you are not the first one to do this devotion service. So don't be afraid that you are taking some great risk. It's really worthy taking the risk in handing over everything to Krishna in our life. Because it's a proven process. In the past, many, many souls have practiced it and achieved the result. Oh, Vrindavan Prabhu is sitting here. Vrindavan Prabhu, humble obeisances. Vrindavan Prabhu is my Shiksha Guru. He is hiding in the crowd and hearing the class. And is sitting to give me, judge my class, and at the end of the class he is going to tell me corrections, how I can improve. So, if the process is followed, you know, it is said the price must be paid and the process must be followed. It's not, there is no shortcut to achieving love of Krishna in an easy way. Even in Bible it is said, to achieve the jewel of love of Godhead, one has to pay a very heavy price. It's not some glass piece or some imitation Kohinoor diamond. So, one has to do the sadhana in order to achieve the kind of love of Godhead. And as one progresses, a certain stage comes, which is the bhava stage. When one's devotion service is situated completely on a transcendental platform of pure goodness, and that is the primary characteristic of bhava bhakti. The secondary characteristics are that a devotee's heart is softened, and all sorts of varieties of tastes of loving mellows appear in the heart of a devotee, which the devotee thoroughly relishes in his heart. So even after the ruchi stage, when the nectar starts flowing, it is said in Madhuri Kadambini that when a devotee advances and comes to the stage of asakti, when he feels separation from Krishna, in the stage of ruchi, ruchi is like a stage where the dancing mistress of ruchi teaches devotee how to dance according to Krishna's tune by manifesting all the qualities that are most sought by Krishna. Amongst all the qualities that attract Krishna the most, bhakti itself is called as Krishna Karshini. Krishna Karshini Chasa. Moksha Lagutakrat Sudurlabha Sandarananda Visheshatma. Krishna Akarshini Chasa. So, bhakti is called as Krishna Akarshini. So, in the ruchi stage and then subsequently bhava stage, a devotee's heart is softened. And the devotee feels a great taste of the loving mellows flooding in his heart. And that produces the ashta-sattvika vikar, or the eight ecstatic symptoms. Tears springing from the eyes, the hair standing on end, the body trembling, and the body changing colors, and heart palpitating very fastly. So there are about eight symptoms like this, which a devotee exhibits in that stage of ecstatic love. And they are all very vividly described in the bhakti literatures. And that is why it is said it's a great science, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. It's called the science of Godhead, because such symptoms manifest in the body of the devotee and in the heart of the devotee, such ecstatic symptoms. So Narada was performing penance under the tree by having taken guidance from the Bhakti Vedantas and sincerely adhering to their instructions. And while following the process offered by the Vaishnavas, very soon Narada saw the result of Bhava Bhakti manifesting in his heart. When Nimai Pandit met Ishwarpuri at Gaya and took initiation from him, subsequently he felt a great transformation of heart. He returned back to Nadia, but when he returned back, he was a transformed man. He was not the same Nimai Pandit as he was before. The earlier Nimai, we find is one who is a logician, Nyaya Gadi, one who was always arguing with his friends in different ways and teasing the Vaishnavas. And he was a great genius who used to play with words. And when he met his spiritual master, Ishwarpuri, and then took Diksha from him and returned back, he was a transformed man. He started asking all his fellow mates, where is Krishna? How can I find Krishna? Without Krishna, I don't want to live anymore. Even for a moment, I want to give up my life. So all his students were very amazed. At Kanyana Shala, he got darshan of Krishna. And he started searching for the same Krishna everywhere when he came back. So this is Nimai Pandit, decorated with tears in his eyes, his whole body trembling in love. And then you find subsequent pastimes of Nimai Pandit. How he takes Naam Sankirtan everywhere. So here Nimai Pandit shows how, without properly surrendering to a spiritual master and properly following the procedure of Bhakti Yoga, one cannot attain the Bhava Bhakti. It is not simply achieved by the whims of the mind, or it is not some imaginative ecstasy. Many of us, in our early part of our lives, even before coming to Krishna consciousness, must have become attracted to some bhajans. Sometimes we hear some bhajan, somebody is singing some bhajan on Krishna or Rama, and you clap hands. Sometimes the music is so enlivening to us, sometimes tears come in our eyes, hair appears to be standing on end, and we think, oh, probably Bhakti Bhava is arousing in my heart. It is just, my heart is jumping in great ecstasy. Heart can be jumping due to various reasons. We may be liking the music, or sometimes we are emotional by nature, so we tend to become emotional at anything. We become emotional when we watch a movie also. You can see in a movie people sobbing tears by taking their kerchief when there is a tragedy scene, a tragedy movie. When there is a comedy movie, people laugh, jump from their seat. When there is a stunt scene, they kick their neighbor. These are not considered to be ecstatic symptoms. These can be called as perverted reflection of ecstatic symptoms. Because the movie is a perverted illusion. What is a movie? Movie is coming from the projector. It's a moving illusion on the screen. Because the conditioned soul in the material world is captivated by the glittering illusion of Maya Devi. The life, which is also like a movie, a longer movie. Cinema may be a shorter movie, life is a longer movie in the material world. But the material world is a drama stage. And we also exhibit symptoms in our life, crying and laughing. These are all perverted reflections, because the relationships in the material world are false imitation relationships. Krishna has mother Yashoda and Nanda, so we have our mother and father. Similarly, Krishna has friends, so we also have our friends. Krishna has consort, material world also people have consorts. So these are false family relationships, which also may plunge us in some form of emotional turmoil, happiness or sorrow and things like that, but it's all imitation. And when you go to a movie and do it in a short term, you can experience it in a very quick way. Life is a little longer thing, but in a movie you experience it in just 3 hours, crying, smiling and stunting everything in a short while. But these are imitation. So because we are emotional by nature, sometimes we feel, we also get tears and we also get, but we have not paid the price for getting that bhakti, then how can we get ecstatic tears of love in the eyes? We have not followed any process. Sometimes there is a great eagerness in our hearts to feel the bhakti and also to exhibit bhakti to others. So that is how we do such things. We are more eager to exhibit to others about our bhakti than to truly experience it. Ideally speaking, one should experience bhakti in a way where one keeps it extremely confidential. Just like when you eat food, you know, you don't put food in the plate and chapati, sabji, everything and go and show to everyone, please see everyone how much food I am eating. You just sit in one corner, even if nobody is around, you don't care. You know, you may be eating your food. So we eat food for our nourishment of the body. Similarly, bhakti process in sadhana stage, we practice to purify our heart and gradually attain love for Krishna. It is not to be exhibited to other people. People generally wear dress to exhibit to others, but they eat food for their own nourishment. In the same way, the bhakti should be practiced for Krishna's pleasure and to awaken the dormant bhakti that is there in our heart. It should be practiced for that. Just like a chaste wife never exhibits her body in the public, but always keeps her body covered. In the same way, Krishna's devotees always are chaste to Krishna. They exhibit their emotions only to Krishna. They generally don't exhibit their emotions in the public to win the cheap popularity of the public and to be worshipped by the public. They don't do that. But heart of hearts, they experience the softness of heart, the varieties of transcendental emotions in different mellows, constantly raging their heart. When Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was with Vallabha Bhatt, at that time Vallabha Bhatt noticed Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. His heart was raging with love for Krishna, like a great storm. He saw that Mahaprabhu was unable to contain the love for Krishna. His hair was standing on end and tears were brimming in the eyes. So when he saw that, he could understand Mahaprabhu controlled it. He didn't want to manifest it in front of Vallabha Bhatt. So such kind of bhava-bhakti is achieved after one attains the maturity in the bhakti. If a small girl stands in the shoes of her mother, she doesn't become pregnant, or she cannot become a mother, like the mother, simply by standing on the shoes of the mother. Similarly, sometimes when we see very advanced devotees, we also have a desire to imitate them. Oh, how beautiful this devotee is. Because such a devotee becomes like a magnet. How a devotee becomes like a magnet attracting people towards him, like Prabhupada was like a magnet, he was attracting so many, all kinds of people, ruffians. He was attracting wise people, foolish people, ruffians, people from all parts of the world. Everyone was attracted to Prabhupada. Because when a devotee contains Krishna in his heart, then people become attracted to Krishna in the heart of the devotee. Namo akinchana vittaya nivritta guna vrittaya. Nivritta guna vrittaya means it's the bhava bhakti. Because in bhava bhakti there is no three gunas at all. Rajagun, tamagun, sattagun, finished. A devotee is in pure goodness. Nivritta guna vrittaya. So then namo akinchana vittaya. Then a devotee possesses Krishna. Then a devotee becomes very captivating, attractive to the hearts of even conditioned souls. Because Krishna is so all-attractive. Every living being becomes attracted to Krishna. And same Krishna is present in the heart of the devotee. So when devotee manifests Krishna, then he becomes attractive. So when people see a pure devotee attracting all the living entities, then others also have a desire that let me also attract others towards me. So they go for imitating. Such a poor imitation should be given up. So the reason why sometimes we feel such bhav in our heart, that is called as chaya bhav. Rathi bhav or chaya bhav it's called. Chaya bhav means when one comes in contact with a pure devotee, Prabhupada's disciples tell us that when we were with Prabhupada, we immediately felt we were Vaishnavas or Vaishnavis. Although we were Americans, although we were indulging in all kinds of sinful habits before, although we had absolutely no understanding of who Krishna is, we had never known what is bhakti. When we were with Prabhupada, Prabhupada always spoke and dealt with us in such a way that we felt Krishna's presence very much, and we felt we were devotees of Krishna. So Prabhupada would always remind people of Krishna so much that they all felt we are Vaishnavas, we are Vaishnavis. When they were wearing tilak and kantamala and wearing the dress of a devotee, when Prabhupada was with them, they felt like they were Vaishnavas. And after when Prabhupada was gone, they felt like I'm a materialistic person. So where does this come from? This comes from the devotee. When a devotee sings from the heart, there is a wave of ecstasy that flows from the body of the devotee, which permeates the whole audience, and the audience feel tears coming in their eyes. That is because of the pure devotee producing a pure sound vibration, Shuddhanam, emanating from the lips of a devotee, which goes and attacks the audience and also shakes them. Jivajago, Jivajago, Gaurachandra Bole. It wakes them up to remembrance of Krishna. So in the presence of a devotee, one feels the presence of Krishna also very much, very strongly. One feels the whole atmosphere transformed into Vrindavan, the presence of a devotee. So that is called a chaya, chaya bhav. But there is also real bhav. The real bhav is a stage when one gets all these symptoms. And as I was telling in the beginning, it's a great science. And this scientific process is experienced by many devotees, like you see in Srimad Bhagavatam, Dhruva Maharaj. In his last few years, he goes to the holy place of Haridwar, and you will find when Dhruva Maharaj is performing devotion service, there are tears of love coming from his eyes. And all the symptoms he manifests, Dhruva Maharaj also. And in this way, after having achieved the perfection of devotional service, this is the perfection of devotion service, when one realizes the conclusions of the scriptures by exhibiting this ecstatic symptoms at the stage of ecstatic love, bhava bhakti. That means one has achieved the last point in his life, the ultimate thing to be achieved. One has revived the devotional service. The bhava bhakti is called as the waves in the ocean of prema bhakti. Prema bhakti is ocean, bhava bhakti are the waves. So devotee is constantly attacked by the waves of Krishna's love. And a devotee, how does a devotee know this? There are certain symptoms that manifest in the heart of the devotee. Like when a devotee hears about Krishna, there are tears in the eyes of the devotee. Or when Krishna or the pure devotee glances at the devotee, again a devotee feels these ecstatic symptoms. And also devotee feels the softness of heart and the transcendental emotions which we said. All these things are manifested in the devotee. That means he has become a ripened fruit of Krishna's love. And such a devotee knows the science very deeply. What is bhakti? What is rasabhas? What is real ras? What is rasabhas? And what are the different rasas, the different mellows, and different types of devotees of Krishna? Who exhibit different types of rasas and different types of mellows, and what pleases Krishna the most? What is favorable devotion service? What is unfavorable? Yashodamayi is, you know, leaving Krishna on the ground and going to fetch the milk from the kitchen. And Krishna is angry with her and wants to create some mischief. And this is considered favorable devotion service, although Krishna is displeased. Isn't it? On the other hand, great asuras like Jarasandha are punching Krishna's body, punching on Krishna's body and causing Krishna apparent suffering, and Krishna is getting great pleasure by that. Such inimical attitude towards Krishna is considered to be unfavorable devotion service, although Krishna experiences pleasure in fighting. So one has to know the subtleties of devotional service. What is favorable? What is unfavorable devotion service? What are the different rasas the different devotees exhibit in relation with Krishna, and how Krishna is the Rasaraj, who enjoys his life not by controlling others, not by dominating others, not by showing his superiority by subduing all the souls and sitting on their heads, but Krishna is a Rasaraj who enjoys rasa by becoming subordinate to the love of his devotees. And he is conquered by the love of his devotees like Yashodamayi or Radharani or his friends. So, in this way, at the stage of bhava, one knows all these subtleties, even if one is uneducated. Like you see, Gauri Krishnadas Babaji, he was apparently an uneducated person, not very advanced person in education. But Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati wanted to become his disciple, although he was highly scholarly. Babaji didn't want to accept him as disciple, he rejected him. There were many followers of Babaji, but Babaji never gave initiation to anybody. He wasn't ready to give initiation. He never considered himself qualified to initiate anyone. But at the same time, the Babaji knew the conclusions of the scriptures very clearly. One day, a very wealthy merchant, a landlord, was brought by one of his assistants in front of Babaji. And he said, "Babaji, do you know this great person? He's a very, very wealthy landlord. He has given up something like 45 lakh rupees or something, a big, huge amount of money which he had. And all that money he has kept it aside, and he doesn't even look towards it. And he's feeling such great ecstatic love. See, there are tears coming from his eyes. There are hair standing on end. And, you know, he's feeling restless. And he wants to discuss Krishna Katha with you. He has come. Please kindly give your time." And Babaji was sitting at that time with a group of his followers discussing Katha. And he shouted, "Throw him out. Don't bring him in front of me. I want to get rid of him. Throw him out," he shouted. And the other devotees didn't want to prolong the situation. They immediately picked up that person and along with his assistant, they sent him out. They asked him to go out. The fellow went away. Then Babaji said, "Bring some cow dung and clean this place." And that evening, Babaji's followers were very afraid. That evening they asked him, "Babaji, why did you behave like this? We cannot understand your behavior. That a person was really shedding tears from his eyes and seemed to be a great devotee, and we are bewildered, we can't understand, please tell us." So he said he is simply a show bottle, he has no devotion. Because he has given up some money, he thinks he has achieved Krishna. Simply by becoming brahmachari, shaving up our head, we cannot achieve Krishna. Achieving Krishna, there is a long way to go. Because we have many, many more things to give up. One gets a false pride of renunciation when one renounces this world. That's the reason one cannot purify the heart very fastly. There are some people who indulge in the world and get entangled and they suffer. There are others who give up the world and get entangled in the pride of renunciation. Both the parties miss the opportunity to attain Krishna. So one can attain Krishna only by pleasing Krishna truly. So Babaji had the ability to sense who is a devotee and who is not. And he clearly knew the conclusions of scriptures. He was never bewildered, although he was apparently uneducated. That is why Bhaksan Saraswati sought his shelter. Although he was scholarly, he never thought, "I am a great scholar. All the scholarship is useless, good for nothing, if we do not know the conclusions of the scriptures." Such people who show crocodile tears, it is said, by such tears, all the conclusions of the scriptures are washed off. Later, Bhaksan Saraswati used to say this. By getting the genuine tears of Bhava Bhakti in the eyes, one attains the conclusions of scriptures, which is the ultimate goal to be achieved in life. And by simply making a show bottle tears in the eyes, one washes off the conclusions of other scriptures. So, understanding the greatness of Gaur Vishwas Babaji, Bhaksan Saraswati took his shelter. So we find such genuine tears in the life of Dhruva Maharaj, who performed, he paid the price, he followed the process. His guru told him, Narada Muni told him, "You go to the..." Now Narada Muni himself is telling about himself, how he achieved Bhava Bhakti, and then that Narada Muni in Parampara is guiding the others. He is telling Vedavyas, he is telling Dhruva Maharaj how to attain Bhakti, go to Madhuvan, make a deity of Krishna, and worship him in this particular Deshakala Vivaja, with whatever is available, with those things you worship Krishna in this manner. And gradually you will see Bhakti will appear in your heart. So one has to take shelter of a guru and properly follow the procedure. Just like we have any chemical has got certain chemical characteristics, in same way, as one progresses, there are certain characteristics that will manifest. Adoshadda, Asavasanka, Bhajanakriya, Anartanvirti, Nishtha, Aruchi. One will gradually advance through the stages. You find Ajamil also, in his last years, he attained such a bhakti, with the tears in his eyes, and he had a heart full of repentance, and he saw Vishnu Dutta face to face, and he boarded the airplane, Vaikuntha airplane, and attained the Vaikuntha, the spiritual abode of the Lord. So by hearing these pastimes of Srimad Bhagavatam, we gain a great faith in our heart. Yes, one day surely we will also attain this ecstatic love. And it is not only something that you hear only from Srimad Bhagavatam. Great devotees who sincerely have practiced have attained Bhava Bhakti even in the modern times. You see, Srila Prabhupada would not manifest in the public. But devotees knew certain times Prabhupada controlled himself. Then he would feel ecstatic love. For example, in the last days, when Prabhupada was about to leave his body, Prabhupada's heart became very, very soft. Prabhupada used to often say that a Uttamadhikari Bhakta cannot preach. A Uttamadhikari treats everyone as a pure devotee in this world, except oneself. He thinks that, you know, I have no devotion for Krishna, like Lord Chaitanya used to say, I have no love for Krishna. Everyone else has love for Krishna. Like when Lord Chaitanya went to the temple of Jagannath, when there was a heavy crowd there, he was standing near the Garuda Stambha and trying to take darshan of Lord Jagannath. At that time, an old Orissan woman climbed on his shoulders and climbed on the Garuda Stambha to take darshan of Lord Jagannath with intense eagerness. This eagerness is called a Samutkantha. With great eagerness, she wanted to take darshan. And Govinda chastised her and got her down. But the point here was, Lord Chaitanya noticed her eagerness and said, just see her eagerness to take darshan of Lord Jagannath. I wish I have a drop of her eagerness to take darshan of Jagannath. I don't have any love for Krishna, he said. Actually, it is a lie. How can Mahaprabhu say that he has no love for Krishna? In fact, he is a personification of love. It is said about Srimati Radharani, Mahabhava Prakashini Radha Takurani, it is said. Radha Takurani, Radharani has the Mahabhava in her which no Jiva can imitate. Jiva can exhibit Bhava, but not Mahabhava. Mahabhava is a oceanic love. A Jiva has no capability to store that love. Just like if there is a huge mountain of sugar kept in the hall here, say we make a Govardhan of big sugar, sacks and sacks of sugar. We are like a small ant. We can come and we can pick up one particle of sugar and say, and jump up and down and say, I have experienced sugar. That's what the Jiva can do. Jiva can experience a small portion of this Mahabhava of Srimati Radharani. But Radharani can experience this Mahabhava. Mahaprabhu exhibited this Mahabhava. Mahaprabhu, who is Mahaprabhu? Mahaprabhu is Krishna in the mood of Radharani, exhibiting the same love that Radharani experienced for Krishna. So when Mahaprabhu was staying in Gambira, sometimes in the doors would be locked, latched, and there would be Govinda, Swarup Damodara sleeping outside to take care of Mahaprabhu, because Mahaprabhu sometimes would come out of the doors. Although the doors were locked, he was Lord himself, he could come out without any botheration. So in the middle of the night, he would call Krishna's names and walk in the streets, and he would go to the Simhadwar. And sometimes he would be fallen in front of the Simhadwar, fainted. And devotees would go searching for him everywhere. So when they would go with the hurricane lamp to search him, they would find Mahaprabhu lying there with his body all elongated. There would be 6 inches and distance between one joint, in the joints, gap. His body would be elongated. Sometimes his body would become very, very plumpy, very huge. Sometimes his whole body would transform the color like that of a color of the conch shell. His body would become whitish. And there would be foam in his mouth, there would be tears in his eyes. And all the hair on his body would be standing like bumps. Goosebumps. He would be standing like that, like a kadamba flower you have seen. It will be like a kadamba flower standing. So Mahaprabhu would exhibit the symptoms and devotees would cry. And Mahaprabhu would wake up and say, you know, he would turn around and say, where am I? I was in Vrindavan. I saw Krishna was climbing on the Govardhan and he was playing on his flute and all the cows came and surrounded him. Hearing the sound of his flute, all the gopis from Vrindavan, they all came to meet Krishna face to face. And I was also there. And suddenly, where have you all brought me here? And then he would scold them, why did you bring me here? Why did you take me out of Vrindavan? Saying like this, Mahaprabhu would start crying. And all the devotees also would cry after that. In this way, Mahaprabhu exhibited very great symptoms of ecstatic love. One time, Mahaprabhu saw the sand dune at a distance while going to Jagannath temple. And he started chasing after the sand dune, thinking that it is Govardhan. Shouting, Govardhan, 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 he was running behind it. He said that famous verse in Bhagavatam, Hantaya Madri Avalam Haridasa Varyo Yadrama Krishna Charana Sparsha Pramoda Manam Tanoti Sahago Ganayona Yoyas Paniya Suya Vasakandara Kanda Moolai. He said, O Govardhan, who is very dear to Krishna and Balram, you are always very fortunate because your body is touched by the lotus footprints of Krishna and Balram. And you always benefit Krishna and Balram and the covered boys by giving fresh waterfalls. And you are benefiting the cows by giving fresh green grass. And there are also caves in the Govardhan where Krishna, Balram and covered boys used to go and play. They perform pastimes. And on the top of the Govardhan they used to have loving pastimes. In this way your whole body is a personification of love because you have nothing else in life to do other than serving Krishna. So amongst all the Haridasas you are the Haridasa Varya. Means you are the topmost of all the devotees. And this certificate is given by the gopis of Vrindavan. And it is not very surprising to hear, because the gopis always considered everyone else to be better than them. And they glorified Govardhan to be the best of the devotees. So calling this verse, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ran behind the sand dune. Govardhan, Govardhan. And all the other devotees followed him. They also ran behind him. Many, many devotees. They were trying to chase Mahaprabhu and capture him, because sand dune sometimes may swallow a person like a soft sand. So they wanted to catch Mahaprabhu. Govinda ran behind him, Ramai, Krishna, so many of the associates of Mahaprabhu. Some of the names may not be familiar to us, but there were many Vaishnavas in Jagannath Puri at that time. In fact, even those who are in the position of Mahaprabhu's guru, like Paramananda Puri, for example, Brahmananda Bharati, even they were also running behind Mahaprabhu. There was one Bhagavan Acharya who was lame, who used to carry a stretcher. He was also trying to run. And at one point of time, Mahaprabhu became stunned in ecstasy. He stood at one point. He could not move any longer. And his eyes were flooded with tears. And the hair stood on end. The heart was palpitating fast, and he fell down on the ground, just like a rod falling on the ground. He became stunned in ecstasy at one time, and he fell on the ground. And then all the devotees came around him. Govinda took water pot and sprinkled water on his body all over. And Mahaprabhu opened his eyes and asked all of them, where am I? Where have I come? And then he used to be in three types of consciousness. Sometimes Mahaprabhu would be totally in external consciousness. Sometimes he would be in a semi-state of consciousness. Sometimes he would be in internal consciousness. When Mahaprabhu would be in internal consciousness, nobody can do anything to him. Because he was always talking about Krishna only when he was in internal consciousness. He would never understand what's going on outside. He was practically in the spiritual world when he was in internal consciousness. It is said when he was living in Puri, he was so much living in the mood of Srimati Radharani, that one day when he went to see Jagannath, he saw Jagannath and he became very angry. He said, what is this? Where have I come? It seems I have come to Mathura. I have come to Dwaraka. Because in Dwaraka, Krishna is like a king there, carrying all the weapons. He is dressed as a king. Whereas in Vrindavan, Krishna wears a peacock feather and wears very simple dress. So when he saw Jagannath, he said, he felt very morose and he turned back and he went back. And he was sitting in Gambira with his snail foot marking on the ground and tears were falling from his eyes on the ground. So he was feeling morose exactly in the mood of Srimati Radharani. The Radharani never likes to see Krishna in the Kurukshetra, in the role of a king. The Radharani said, what is this, Krishna? You are wearing this kavach on your body, you are carrying all the weapons and surrounded by all the soldiers sitting on elephants and horses, and there are rattling chariots making sound. This is not a pleasant Vrindavan atmosphere. You are the same Krishna and I am the same Radharani. And it is the same Chaitra month. Although everything else seems to be similar, I don't find the Vrindavan mood here. In Vrindavan, you can hear the bumblebees very sweetly making the sound. You can hear in Vrindavan. So, where are those bumblebees making sweet sounds? Where are the fully blossomed flowers of Vrindavan? And where is the Krishna who is playing on his flute and keeping a beautiful peacock feather on his head with curly locks of hair, wearing a simple pitambar? So, wearing the Vaijayanti mala. I want to see that Krishna. So please come back to Vrindavan. So when Mahaprabhu saw Jagannath, he wasn't pleased that day, dressed in a gorgeous kingly fashion. Because Jagannath is dressed in two ways. Sometimes he is dressed with Shankh Chakra in a Aishwarya form, and other times he is dressed like Krishna with a flute. Both are accepted in Jagannath Puri. So Mahaprabhu in this way lived exactly in the mood of Srimati Radharani. So much love he had for Krishna, exhibited that Mahabhava. So, although Mahaprabhu exhibited such Mahabhava, he always said, I have no love for Krishna. If Mahaprabhu says he has no love for Krishna, what to speak of us? We have to wind up our bag and go back. But Mahaprabhu says like that because in ecstatic stage one feels like that. One feels that I am very small, I am very fallen. So Prabhupada said, Uttamadhikari preacher, Uttamadhikari cannot preach because he thinks everyone else is a devotee, I am not a devotee, he feels. He feels everyone is my Prabhu, but I am a Das of everyone. So he wants to serve everyone. So even an atheist, a devotee, pure devotee, Uttamadhikari cannot see an atheist to be fallen. Even atheist, he thinks, if atheist is going, carrying a bucket of water, he thinks he is carrying the bucket to do some abhishek to Krishna. He will be thinking like that. He cannot see atheist as atheist. So Prabhupada says, Uttamadhikari has to come down to the level of a Madhyamadhikari to become a preacher. So Prabhupada was a Uttamadhikari in Vrindavan, but he came down to the Madhyamadhikari level simply to preach in America. Madhyamadhikari will challenge. He will challenge the rogues and atheists by arguing with them, which Prabhupada did. And then Prabhupada, towards the end of his life, you know, he was telling the devotees, I have scolded so many scientists as rascals. And I have spoken so many things about my envious God brothers. I told them all about them in order to protect all of you, so that you will not get misdirected or misguided in your spiritual lives. I told about them. In this way, I am a Mahapatita. I am the most fallen amongst all the fallen people, because I have offended so many people in this world. And now I am going to lay my body. So please, all of you, forgive me. When devotees heard it, they all broke into tears. Prabhupada, what is this, Prabhupada? You are saying you are Mahapatita. How can you say you are Mahapatita? You are the Mahapatita Pavan. You are the deliverer of the most fallen souls. You are Adama Janara Bandhu. You are the relative of the most fallen Jivas. You are not Mahapatita. It's out of your humility you are saying like this. Actually, Prabhupada never offended scientists or other devotees, because whenever whatever Prabhupada said was true, his intense compassion took the shape of such scorching words. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sometimes called as a golden volcano. Why is called as a golden volcano? From his heart would erupt the lava of Krishna's love. Similarly, from Prabhupada's heart, his compassion would exude, springing from his heart in the form of compassionate words of chastisement towards scientists and other fallen people. But he never had any hatred for anyone. Prabhupada always loved every living being. So, Prabhupada's heart became very soft when he was bodily with his body, because in ecstatic love, that's one of the symptoms, that one's heart becomes softened. And one experiences all the transcendental mellows. And there are 9 symptoms of such ecstatic love, which I will quickly go through, because I think we have almost time. One of the first symptoms is Avyartha Kalatvam, which means a devotee does not waste a moment in his life. Every moment he spends in Krishna service. And he is very intelligent in spending his time. If a moment is meant for Krishna service, the devotee will give that time. If a moment is going to be wasted in something else, a devotee will discard it. Like you see, Rupa Sanatan, when they were faced with Digvijay Pandits who came to argue with them, they didn't waste the time. They said, sorry, we have no time. They understood that we cannot make him into a devotee. This fellow is heavy-headed, high-headed. He is not going to become a devotee. They told him, please go back. We have no time for you. And Digvijay Pandits would argue when Rupa Narayan argued with him. No, no, no. If you cannot argue with me, that means you are defeated. Give me a Praman Patra that I have defeated Rupa and Sanatan. They said, okay, come, take it. What do you want us to write? They wrote and gave it, take it and go. Because they never wanted to waste time simply arguing on an egoistic platform. That is avyartha kalatvam. They would not waste a moment. Prabhupada would not waste a moment. Prabhupada would sleep early and get up early. He will sleep sometimes at 9 o'clock and he will get up at 1 o'clock. Because Prabhupada knew all day he was surrounded by devotees. Always asking questions, asking guidance about how to manage things. All day he was always busy, busy, busy. But in the night when Prabhupada would sleep early and get up early, morning nobody would be up at 1 o'clock. And Prabhupada would be alone between 1 to 5. Prabhupada would make translation. That's how we have all these wonderful Bhaktivinoda purports. How Prabhupada utilized his time? Can you imagine in 12 years how much Prabhupada could do? He brought about such a transformation all over the world. So the devotee is Abhyartha Kalatvam. He spends his time like that. Then a devotee also is he exhibits the quality of Virakti. Virakti means detachment. He is detached. That is one second quality. What is the second quality? Anybody knows? You know, a devotee is amani is shanti. Kshanti, kshanti, yeah. Kshanti means tolerant, perseverant. Kshanti. That is the second quality. First is avyartha kalatvam. Second is kshanti, means perseverant and tolerant. And third is this virakti. Virakti. Prabhupada gives example of Bharat Maharaj. Virakti, detachment doesn't mean that, you know, when you have nothing to possess, then you say, okay, I leave everything. So beggar says, no, I adopt the path of Virakti. That's meaningless. But Bharat Maharaj had everything in life. Practically, he was the king of the whole world, but he left everything. That is Virakti purpose, is the detachment. Virakti. And then Mana Shunyata means pridelessness. So Prabhupada admitted, Prabhupada was even sometimes eager to take advice from his disciples, suggestions from his disciples. He was always, his heart was like them. Pridelessness. Radharani, the same way. Although all the gopis consider Radharani the queen of Vrindavan and want to have Radharani by the side of Krishna, Radharani always considered herself to be very small. And she had two assistants, Lalita and Vishakha, whom she considered her masters. She would always ask Lalita and Vishakha, what should I do now? So Krishna is doing like this, what should I do now? So they were advisors. Especially Lalita would advise Radharani, you should do like this. Because Krishna is very cunning, so we will also employ some cunning methods to cheat Krishna. So Lalita was like a teacher, to teach Radharani how to behave. So Radharani considered herself to be servant of Lalita, although she is the Vrindavaneshwari. So Mana Shunyata. Then there is Ashabandha. Ashabandha means hope against hope. Although it may appear that Krishna's love is a very far-fetched thing, a devotee never gives up his hope. Just like a Chataka Pakshi always is looking towards the sky, waiting for the Swati rain. But at a certain time, a certain rain comes, and the Chataka Pakshi waits for the rain water to come. Although there are waters abundantly available everywhere, he doesn't drink that waters. So the abundant waters available in reservoirs are called as the sense gratification. So a devotee never succumbs to sense gratification. He always waits for Krishna's love to descend in his heart. Generally what we do, we try, like that fox, you know, who was trying to jump and get that grapes. And we jump and see, and I cannot get it, then he says, you know, this is simply sour fruits. And then he looks for something else on the ground level. So that is true for all of us also. Many times we all find in our lives also, we try to attain Krishna Prema. When we cannot get it, then we succumb to some sense gratification, which is the easy route, the path of least resistance. Very easily you can get it quickly. But that doesn't satisfy the soul, nourish the soul. So Asha Bandhan is always having hope against hope that surely Krishna will come in my life. Krishna will not ditch me. Krishna will protect me and he will elevate me to return back to him. And then samutkantha means intense eagerness. It's called a samutkantha. Intense eagerness to achieve Krishna. And then after that, namagane sadaruchi. Namagane sadaruchi means to have a great taste for chanting the holy name. Even after 16 rounds, you feel like chanting more rounds. You want to chant more, you develop the taste. That doesn't come every day. Once in a while we get that taste. But bhava stage, the devotee wants to constantly keep on chanting all day. You see, Madhavendrapuri is sitting in the Govindakunda. All day he is chanting, continuously. He derives greatest pleasure. Sometimes we do extra rounds because we are told, Ekadashi day you have to chant more rounds, so we do. But there is no one to control a pure devotee. Pure devotee has a taste, Namagani Sadaruchi. Tad asaktis, what is the other one? Gunakhyane, is it? Tad asaktis gunakhyane. Gunakhyane means he derives great joy in glorifying the qualities of Krishna and devotees. Gunakhyane means to speak Krishna katha, he derives great joy. To speak and hear Krishna's pastimes, he delights in that. And then it is said, tad priti vasati stale. And he is very fond of visiting the holy places where Krishna or devotees have performed pastimes. He is very fond of visiting those places. Tat priti vasati sthale. And he wants to reside in those holy places and serve Krishna. How many have said? Nine, yeah. So these are all characteristics of bhava bhakti that devotee exhibits. So if any of us get tears in our eyes, we can check how many of the nine symptoms we are fulfilling. When I go to the holy place in Yatra, my Lord, you have to walk such long distance. Sometimes you are thinking, when will the prasadam be served? When they give prasadam in the morning, that time only people ask, when is going to be next prasadam? 1 o'clock or evening, 6 o'clock, isn't it? So at least I am concerned about prasadam and my rest most. People ask, oh, bus is taking long time. Today what time we will return back to the lodge? We'll return before 9 o'clock and then you return at 12 o'clock. And then people are crying, oh, today also late again. So we are very concerned about our eating and sleeping the most. Most worried in our state. And also, sometimes when you go to a holy place like Vrindavan or Mayapur, you feel, oh, I'm going to Yatra, I'm going to visit the holy place. But then you visit there after 2-3 days, you are asking, when are we returning now? How many days are over now? Isn't it? You want to come back. Because you have not developed tat priti vasati sthale. You don't want to live there. Once in a while going. Even people who like the serenity of Vrindavan, the sweetness of Vrindavan, the sweetness is nice for some time. And then they want to come back to city and work hard. Because our nature is to work hard in the neophyte stage. So it's better to situate ourselves where we are, not pretend to be bhava bhaktas. That stage will come, and just like Narada did not achieve it overnight. He has practiced very sincerely. In that life, Lord told him that in this life you will not see me again. Which means one should have a firm, deep-rooted faith in the path of bhakti, and one should know that bhakti is a very scientific path, either in the later part of my lifetime, or after many lifetimes, I will surely achieve bhava bhakti one day. Krishna will enter my heart and soften my heart, and my bhakti will be situated beyond the three modes, and all the symptoms of ecstatic love will manifest in my body. Maybe now, in this life, or maybe after a million lives, but I will continue practicing my devotional service. That should be the conviction of a devotee, because some of us attain that bhava bhakti through sadhana, like Narada Muni also had to do sadhana. So we are also following the same path. We have to do sadhana to achieve it. But some people may achieve directly without doing sadhana. By kripa they may achieve, like that fisherman who captured Mahaprabhu in his net. He touched Mahaprabhu's body and started hari 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 chanting hari all the time. He became attacked by bhava bhakti because Mahaprabhu touched his body and offered him Bhava Bhakti, he became as if haunted by a ghost. He became haunted by Lord Hari's name. So that is mercy. It's a Kripa Siddhi. So very rare souls may achieve such Kripa Siddhi. But most of the people will have to do, perform the sadhana to achieve it. But we should have attraction for it. That's very important. We should want to become maddened in Krishna's love. If first of all, if you are attracted by it, then you will respect those who possess it. And then when you respect those, you will follow them. Then you will also achieve it. It's possible. So we should worship the Bhava Bhakti exhibited by Mahaprabhu. When you see this beautiful form of Gauranga, with his arms raised, with his golden complexioned body, with his eyes showering tears of love for Krishna, with his heart palpitating, and remembering Krishna, singing Krishna's names, one should worship this beautiful form of Gauranga Mahaprabhu constantly in one's heart. So Bhava Bhakti should be worshipped. And it's said in Srimad Bhagavatam, also there's a beautiful verse which says, Evam hasati roditi rauti gayati unmadam and rittati loka bahiha. There's a verse in the 11th canto. The Nava Yogendras explained to Maharaj Nimi these symptoms. They are saying that when one comes to the stage of ecstatic love, these symptoms will be coming. Roditi, rauti, gayati. They will loudly sing the holy names. Unmadavan ritati, they will chant and dance like a madman. So now all of us are in apprentice stage now. In apprentice stage we are doing the same. See, the beauty of our Krishna conscious path is the means and the end are same. So whatever we will be doing in the spiritual world, we do here. Like, you know, pure devotee wears tilak, so we also wear tilak. Pure devotee wears kantimala, we also wear kantimala. Pure devotee jumps and dances, we also jump and dance. At least we are allowed to do that, even in neophyte stage. Isn't it? So you can dance, you can loudly sing, all these things. Just like somebody joins the army, the very first day he is given the uniform. He is given the uniform and he is carrying the gun. He doesn't even know how to operate the gun. He is carrying a gun. So we also carry a bead bag. We don't know how to chant purely. Still they are given a bead bag. No problem. Take bead bag. Wear tilak, wear kantimala. We are not a pure devotee, but we are allowed to, you know, follow in the footsteps of a pure devotee. All these things. And then in the paripakva stage, in the mature stage, all these symptoms will manifest. At that time a devotee conceals these symptoms. Actually Narada Muni would have never revealed to anybody else, but he is revealing for the benefit of his disciple Veda Vyas, in order to teach him, train him. Sometimes the spiritual master will tell his own pastimes to his disciples, because the disciples are non-envious. The disciples consider the spiritual master as good as Krishna, as good as God. And they always worship the dust of his lotus feet by carrying it on their heads. And they delight in remembrance of the spiritual master, in the spiritual master's pastimes. To such disciples whose hearts are filled with love for the Guru, Guru may sometimes tell about, confide with them, some of his pastimes and how he became mature in his devotional service. He may tell his own glories that Mahaprabhu also did with his followers. He exhibited all these ecstatic symptoms within Shiva Sangan. He didn't do it anywhere. It was in a closed fashion. He did that. In order to, otherwise how can the disciples know, how can the followers know to what level one can achieve? To Ramananda Rai, Mahaprabhu exhibited the Radha Krishna form. He showed, and Ramananda Rai was so delighted, he fell unconscious by that. And Mahaprabhu did not do this with everyone. He didn't go to Vallabha Bhatt and show his Radha Krishna form to him. With Vallabha Bhatt, he was even trying to hide the love of Krishna, because the relationship was not very thick. But the Guru, sometimes with the disciples who are very intimate, like Veda Vyasa is an intimate disciple of Narada Muni, to him Narada Muni is confiding about how he progressed. Because the Guru is always a well-wisher of his disciples. He wants to benefit the disciple. So, sharing Veda Vyasa so that Veda Vyasa will benefit and he will be able to offer the highest goal of life for all the living entities. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.